The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I'm joined in studio now by the Minister for Transport, Climate, Environment and Communications, Eamon Ryan, who stepped down as Green Party leader yesterday and has indicated that he will not be running in Dublin Bay South in the next election. Minister, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you.
You have a small smile playing about your lips. You must therefore be pleased at your decision.
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about this for a good while, and it was good to be able to do it on my own terms, to be with my party colleagues, to be able to talk to my government colleagues, Taoiseach and Tánaiste, and my cabinet colleagues. And I mean, it's still a lot of work now for the next 8 months. Like, this government still got work to do, and I want to be part of that. But I won't be running in the next general election. And that was the most important decision for me. And therefore, you have to give advance notice. You have to prepare your own group to select a different candidate and your colleagues to select a new leader. So that's what we'll do now the next 3 weeks.
Now, you will remain in your ministries, but what will happen in terms of the triumvirate at the top of government? This is a coalition with three party leaders. You will no longer be that party leader when the election process is finished.
I don't see it changing that much, just as it didn't change. We've managed in this government to change Taoiseachs twice, to have a change in party leaders. And it was formed on a very strong programme for government that was between the three parties, not just the leaders. So I don't expect a significant change. Whoever we select as a leader will join that group of three, which is an important part of government. It's the centre of government, where you meet on a Monday evening, you look at the cabinet agenda ahead, you meet maybe three or four other times during the week in various cabinet subcommittees or, you know, a whole variety of different events, and you work collegiately. And I'm certain that the colleagues I have, who will likely stand for that leadership role, would be well able to fit in that cooperative work.
You know, the way they used to talk about the car, the ministerial car, was a very important vote-getting device in various constituencies. I mean, is it possible that whoever becomes the Green Party leader will say, OK, Eamon, you're no good to us, you're not running the next time round. Let's give the car, and I'm using that as a metaphor, let's give the car to somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be their call. In the next 4 weeks, I'll be continuing to run my two departments. I've said I'd be willing to do whatever role after that, but that'll be up for the next leader to decide.
Now, you said you had told some of your colleagues in the Green Party of your intention, and you'd kind of articulated it probably that you weren't going to go on too much longer. But still, there was a sense that some of them were ambushed yesterday.
I don't think so. I was very glad that it wasn't out before, because you do need to, well, you know, just keep working with your colleagues. You have to, if you're saying you're stepping down, it might impact how they work with you. But I did have to tell my party colleagues because so they could be prepared and ready.
When did you tell the Taoiseach?
On the day before yesterday, Monday.
Okay, so recently, not like months ago, like you might have told some of your Green colleagues.
No, in a similar vein to the way Leo did it when he stepped down, out of an absolute courtesy to both the Taoiseach and Tánaiste, I spoke to them on Monday, spoke to my cabinet colleagues yesterday morning, and then went out to the media.
All right. This decision to step down, you have cited personal reasons, and you articulated yesterday in some of the interviews that you have a son with special needs, and therefore it's about time dad stepped up to the plate. Is that a fair
assessment? That is. Well, firstly, there were two main reasons. Firstly, I do think I've been leader for 13 years, which is a long time. I've been 13 years either seeking public office or being public office. It's been a real privilege, but I felt it was time to allow others to take on some of those roles, and they're well able to. So I was very confident our party's in really good shape, so it was a good time to do it. But the second reason is because I knew I wouldn't be running in the next general election, and one of the main reasons for that is, we have a son with special needs. I think it wouldn't be fair for another 5 years where my wife would carry that load all the time. And so I just need a more balanced. And I'm going to still be involved in climate activism and environmental campaigning and in supporting our party, but not in elected office. And that gives me the time to, have a more balanced approach, including parenting. One of the things about having a son, and my son is now 23, so he's not young, but we'll still be parenting, you know, right the way through our lives, which is a real responsibility, but also a real privilege in a way. You know, your parenting brings its benefits as well as its...
How tough was it, though, when you were saying, I'm off again, dear. I'm off to Sharm el-Sheikh.
Yeah.
I'm off to Brussels. I'm off to Paris. I'm off to wherever.
That is difficult. I mean, anyone in a sort of busy public role like the one I have, if they were in similar circumstances, would know what it's like. Or in fact, listen, any parent with a son or daughter who's disabled or is, you know, has what my colleague Grace O'Sullivan called special abilities, anyone in those circumstances will know that it's a real balancing act, and how you do that as a family collectively is important. And that's one of the reasons I'm relieved. I'm glad it will give me more time.
But it does mean that you had a very complex life, balancing those challenges at home with the political challenges. And you got little change from the opposition for or understanding of what you might be grappling with.
Yeah, but I wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't use that. Like, that circumstance is a private, personal thing. I mean, I was explaining it yesterday because I did think I had to be honest about it. But I wouldn't see that that in any way impacts on politics or how people treat you. I think, by and large, Irish politics, Pat, for all the, you know, the weak, all the warts and all, you know, problems we have with it, Irish politics is still a respectful place. There is still a culture of decency across the opposition as well as in government. It's much better. I'm just nervous that we give out the message to people, oh, don't go into politics. It's too harsh. It's too, you know, vitriolic. There is that, and it is.
It has become coarsened, though, in recent years.
Well, geez, it was fairly coarse over the years when you think back. But it has become particularly coarse online in certain ways, and that is an issue. But it shouldn't put off people getting involved in politics, joining a political party, because actually it's a really honourable thing to get engaged in the Republic, in the democratic constitutional systems we have. That's a very rewarding experience, including working with opposition.
Now, you are finally free of your tormentors, one suspects. Well, you will be when you leave your ministries. And I'm thinking of Michael Healy-Ray, and I'm thinking of the other Michael, Michael O'Leary.
Yeah, well, I mean, it doesn't really, that tormenting thing doesn't really bother me in terms of, I'd be more interested in the detail of so Michael, either Michael Healy-Ray or Michael, what's the future here? Like, where are we going? How are we going to really give prosperity and security for our people and get engaged in the actual argument around what sort of change we need to make? If they want to make it burn, sorry, you know, whatever they say, that's their business.
You take the big picture, if you like. The planet is warming. The world's on fire. Sometimes we look across the world at the wildfires that are hitting all continents. And you take the big picture view. Michael Healy-Ray will take, you know, this is rural Ireland. We cannot manage without our cars. We can't be cycling up Carrantool. It just doesn't work. Well, Michael O'Leary will say, yeah, but we need to get people on and off the island.
There's a green expression going right back to our foundation days. Think global, act local. We're just as interested in how you actually make rural Ireland work and how you, and we're actually affecting that change. Like, I was down in Kerry the week before last, I was down in Dingle and in Killarney and in Killorglin. But in Dingle, we were launching yet more of the new rural bus service we're introducing, which are transforming rural Ireland, like really working. People want. So I actually, the argument I have with Michael Healy-Ray, whatever about the global picture, at the local level, I think our way forward is better. I think actually improving people's homes by retrofitting them, turning to our own renewable energy, doing farming in a way where you're paying farmers, particularly marginal farming kind of systems, where you're paying for nature restoration. That's good for community. That's good for local people. That's what I disagree with them on. I not only disagree on maybe the big picture, I disagree on the local, on the immediate benefit, the savings that will come from going this greener direction.
And I know that Michael O'Leary said, why don't you just you know, bring in a change in law that allows you to override the Bord Pleanála on the 32 million passenger cap. We need to get people on and off the island. And it's not just people going to Prague for the weekend. It's business people. It's, you know, teams that have to go to the Olympics or whatever, and you don't want to run out of seats.
Pat, I was saying, I've been involved in political life and public life for about 30 years. And going back to the 90s when I started, the biggest problem in my city, in Dublin, and many places around the country, was the corruption in local planning. Like, if you look at a lot of the problems we are facing today, a lot of the gridlock, a lot of the congestion, is because we corruptly planned and zoned and built out. And so if you were to undermine the independence of the planning system by saying, just click your fingers, tell Bord Pleanála to forget the decisions they have made in what they believe in independent way is good for planning of our country, That way lies madness. That way would really destroy...
But I was so disappointed, though, in the reforms of the planning system that make it even more complicated than it was before, than simply having a rules-based system that everyone would understand and be transparent, and locals, objectors, observers, developers, councils would know exactly where they stand. And that's not where we're going. We're going into a morass.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. And it's true to say the Planning and Development Bill, which will be passed in the Seanad in all stages next September, is very large. It's 700 pages. It has been in the committee for about 150 hours of debate. But it is needed. I'm sure you'd also agree. One of the biggest problems we have in our community and country today is a very litigious planning system that increases cost. It's not fair, I think, either to people who might be complaining against development or someone looking to build something, that it's too uncertain, it's too lengthy, it's too legally fraught. And the bill has been drafted, and the former Attorney General Paul Gallagher and the new Attorney General Rasa Fanning have been centrally involved to try and actually simplify and shorten. Now, drafting the bill to do that is not short, but it has been designed to try and help us get out.
Time will tell. Yeah. What do you see as your legacy?
Well, I think the most important thing for me, well, the reason I went into politics and still committed and will to the end of my days, is because we are in an ecological crisis. What you said there, Pat, is like the world is burning in front of our eyes. Like particularly in the last year, what's happened with the jump in global average temperatures, the much more intense weather systems that we're seeing, and the destruction of nature, the loss of biodiversity. I'm going right back. I was 16 in school and we did a course in ecology, and that inspired me that, oh, we have to do something here to avoid this destruction of our own safety, our own living systems. And I believe that in government and in outside, particularly in the last 4 years, we have started to transform the country. We are going in a greener direction towards renewable energy, towards public transport, safer streets, towards a better type of farming that's more sustainable. And I think that change will not be reversed now. I think the course we've set in this government is a historic, I mean, Micheál Martin said it yesterday, it is a historic shift that will not turn around. And I think starting that and guiding it for the last 4 years particularly will be our most important legacy.
Our listeners are quick off the mark. Perhaps Eamon Ryan has his eye on the Auras. I seem to recall that he suggested himself for that role once upon a time.
I did, back in 2004. And I regret in a way I wasn't able to run that time. I wasn't able to get the nominations that I would have wanted, but I won't be running in the next election. Going back to what I said earlier on about my own circumstances, it kind of precludes it in a way. But also, as much as I respect the office, it's not something I'll be running for or looking for.
Can you ask Eamon Ryan, does he realise how much the population he has isolated and enraged with the green agenda? Many people simply can't use bicycles or public transport as an effective means of transport, either because of age, disability, or because the public transport simply isn't there. People who need a car, perhaps because they run a business, need to move stock or tools, because of their physical challenges, are being ignored by green policies. And we get that again and again and again.
Yeah, we do. And listen, we need all sorts of transport solutions. And we do need, you know, cars and the ability to, and vans and the ability to drive. But if everyone drives, it doesn't actually work for anyone. You just get gridlock. And I do believe, again, on that issue of access, promoting public transport, and we are doing that. Like, we have significantly enhanced public transport, particularly in rural Ireland, and we have halved the fares for people under 26. And the numbers are shooting up. Like, the Irish people really, when you provide good public transport, they flock to it. And I think it's also, there's a social justice aspect to that.
But in the bigger picture, still staying local, the things that have not really been sorted finally. I mean, e-scooters, we have rules for e-scooters, but I mean, I see them broken every single day. We don't have that metro. And as you pointed out yourself, you've had two terms in government. It is still stalled because they haven't got a leadership for the project yet. The progress is incredibly slow. People will say it's the return machines and the caps that are stuck to bottle tops and milk cartons. That's your legacy.
Well, firstly, Irish people are good at this green thing. Like, actually, on the deposit refund, what the experts say internationally, they look at our uptake of it and it's way ahead of other European examples. It's actually working. And secondly, on the metro, it will be built. Just to give you some good news, we have that leadership now in the metro team.
Well, that's good.
So there is real capable people. It will come out of planning, I expect. Again, that's the independence of the planning system. But I expect a decision on that this year. and then we go to build. And I think it's going to be very expensive, but I think it is a core spine of public transport capability in the city that will stand to the people of Dublin for decades and centuries to come.
People talking about the quays being destroyed for cycle lanes that are simply not used. We have all sorts of things happening in the capital, in the Phoenix Park. People with a family trying to drive to the park and park. They used to be able to park on Chesterfield Avenue, the main road of the park, can't do that anymore. And they kind of blame you for all of this stuff.
You do. Change is not easy. And what did Woodrow Wilson say? If you want to make enemies, change things. And it's true. We are changing, and we will be changing this summer, the Dublin City Centre to reduce true traffic. But I stand up for the promise that by making our streets safer to walk and cycle, we actually benefit everyone. It is actually, it creates a better local environment. It creates a more effective transport system. It's better for health. It's better for so many different ways, for clean air and so on. So that transformation is only starting. I'm absolutely convinced that when some of the projects that we've set in train are delivered, you will see an explosion of the number of people cycling, not just in Dublin, but in Cork, Galway, Waterford, Limerick, and towns and villages around the country. People want to do it. It's just not safe, Pat. And by making it safe, we serve the people.
A final comment from Keith. He says, can you thank Eamon for his service? He's an honourable man. Politicians don't get enough credit for the work that they do. So on that note, Eamon Ryan, retiring head of the Green Party, and I don't think you'll retire entirely from public life. I think we'll see more of you. Eamon, thank you very much
for
joining us in studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.